Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Our mission here is pretty simple. You give us the sources, the articles, the research, your notes, and we give you the key insights.
We really just try to distill it all into high-impact knowledge.
Exactly. Tailored for you, the listener, who needs to get informed and fast.
And today we're diving into a concept that could feel, a bit abstract. Wisdom.
But we're tackling it through a really concrete, almost surprisingly relatable analogy from the sources you sent.
Physical fitness.
Yeah, we're taking wisdom out of the ivory tower and putting it right on the gym floor. The big question for this deep dive is this. How is wisdom a full body workout for life?
Just a brilliant comparison. The text we're focusing on, Proverbs chapter 4, isn't about isolating one little spiritual discipline here or there. It's a holistic prescription for health. One that, involves your actions, your intentions, your core focus. It's about integrating your entire being.
So this is not theoretical. It's systemic training. Okay, let's unpack this with that anecdote from the source material. It's so familiar if you've ever seen someone really commit to a gym routine.
Oh, yeah. It starts with this young man's workout schedule. The traditional split routine.
The classic split. He's in there 5 days a week, super regular, but he's, dividing his body.
Right. Monday's leg day.
Tuesday is back day, maybe Thursday for arms and shoulders.
That's the idea, right? You hit one muscle group hard, then give it plenty of time to recover before you hit it again.
It's the standard playbook for building mass. But the parent in the story, they notice a change.
Mm-hmm. The son starts working out only every other day, maybe 3 times a week.
So the first thought is obvious. Is he slacking off? Is he losing that edge?
But he explains that no, he's not slacking at all. His new job schedule is just really demanding, so he had to switch up his training methodology.
And he shifted from that specialized split to what fitness pros call a full-body workout routine.
And this is where the analogy just clicks into place.
It really is. The full-body approach is all about intensity and integration. It's one single session where you train all the major muscle groups.
Legs, chest, back, core, everything.
All in one continuous block instead of spreading it all out over a week.
And what's really compelling, what the sources pointed out, were the specific measurable advantages of this approach. It's not just a time saver.
No, not at all. The research actually shows it can yield better overall strength gains because the systemic shock to the body is just, it's greater.
Right, and it drives a better metabolic response.
Yeah, the sources get into the higher calorie burn, faster fat loss, which makes total sense when you think about it. You're recruiting so much more muscle mass in a shorter window.
But the detail that really connects everything for us, the bridge to this whole discussion, is the claim that it leads to better hormone and metabolic balance.
It improves the entire system at once.
It sees the body for what it is.
Yep.
Not just a collection of parts, but a single integrated ecosystem.
So if a full body workout can create holistic physical health, what's the equivalent in the realm of wisdom?
Well, the source material makes the connection explicit. It says wisdom, as taught in Proverbs 4, is that analogous full body workout for your life.
Meaning it involves the entire scope of who you are.
Your inputs, your outputs, your central control system. You can't just be wise in one area, like being a good listener, but then let your speech run wild.
That makes so much sense. And it immediately brings up the question, where do you start? What's the core? You can't just start lifting without bracing your core.
Absolutely. We have to start with that foundational muscle.
Yeah.
The heart.
No, in our modern world, we think of the heart as just, the seat of our emotions.
But in the context of this text, it's so much broader. The heart is the command center.
The control center. That's the key. It's the source of your will, your thoughts, your emotions, your motivation. It's the hidden engine driving the whole operation.
And that's why the command in Proverbs 4, verse 23 is so forceful. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life.
It's not a gentle suggestion.
No, it's an urgent military command.
Yeah.
Guard it like it's the most vital resource in a fortress.
And that word vigilance, it just highlights the intensity needed. It's a constant act of defense, not just, hoping for the best.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because if you fail to guard it, the implication is clear. The springs of life either dry up or they get poisoned.
So whatever flows out of you gets corrupted.
Think about it physically. The heart is where blood is purified and then pumped out to all the extremities.
Yeah.
Spiritually, the heart is where your intent is formed, and that intent then flows out to govern every single action, every reaction, every word.
So if the core fails, the whole body just it suffers.
Precisely.
You know, I think sometimes we're tempted to try a kind of spiritual split routine.
What do you?
Like maybe we dedicate one day to intellectual study and another day to charitable acts, thinking we can compartmentalize our spiritual life.
But the text is saying that if the heart isn't guarded, none of that matters.
Right. No amount of charity or study can sustain you if the core is compromised.
That's the critical point. If the heart is the core muscle you have to guard, then all the other actions, the inputs and outputs we're about to get into, are just the limbs being trained.
And they depend completely on the strength and security of that central command.
They do.
Okay, so let's identify those other muscle groups. The text gives us this systematic breakdown of five specific areas that make up this full body wisdom workout. It's a whole training plan for life.
Right. And we start with the first two input groups, the senses that feed information to that core. Group one is all about what we hear. It demands attentiveness.
Verse 20 lays it out. Be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. And that phrase, incline your ear, I feel like it's often overlooked.
It's so active. It's not passive hearing, like just having background noise on.
No, it's a deliberate physical commitment, leaning in to really absorb what's being said.
It's about prioritization. I mean, in our age of constant information overload, training this muscle might be the hardest one.
You have to filter out so much noise.
And you have to actively decide whose voice, whose wisdom, what instruction you're going to prioritize. Because if you listen to everything, you're really attentive to nothing.
That leads perfectly into the second input group, doesn't it?
It does. Group two, what we see. This is all about focus and vision.
Verse 25 instructs us, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you.
It's about intentional direction, a deliberate narrowing of your focus.
Keeping your vision fixed on the path you actually want to take instead of getting pulled aside by every little thing in your peripheral vision.
And the text even warns us about the consequence of failing here. Verse 21 says, let them not escape from your sight.
In a world practically designed to snatch our attention, the flickering screen, the sensational headline, it's so easy to let wisdom escape.
And when it escapes, you lose your direction. Your gaze has wandered.
It's like when you're lifting a heavy weight. You have to fix your eyes on a stable point to keep your balance.
Wisdom is the same. That focused attention prevents the kind of distraction that leads to, bad judgment or a misstep.
Okay, so after the inputs hearing and seeing, we move to the outputs, the first major output muscle group.
Group three, what we say. This is about governing our speech.
And verse 24 is very blunt about it. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you.
So wisdom means governing your language with absolute clarity and honesty. It's not just about avoiding big lies. It's about the quality and the intent behind every single word.
Crooked speech is such a great phrase for today. What does that even mean?
I think it's any language that's intentionally bent or twisted to mislead someone.
So it could be using corporate jargon to hide the truth in a meeting.
Or using really inflammatory emotional language online to manipulate a conversation or just to create division.
It's the opposite of speaking straight.
It is. It's the calculated use of ambiguity or exaggeration to benefit yourself or to hurt someone else. So training this muscle means you actually have to pause before you speak.
Check the intent flowing from the heart.
And make sure your words are straight, clear, and constructive.
And that brings us to the biggest, most all-encompassing muscle group of them all.
Group four, how we walk or how we conduct ourselves. This covers our actions, our decisions, our whole path in life.
This is where it all comes together.
The instructions are so comprehensive. Verses 26 and 27 say, ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil.
Ponder the path. That's not just running ahead blindly. It implies proactive planning, reflective assessment.
It means stopping, looking at your trajectory, and making adjustments before you take the next step.
This is where the training really pays off in the real world.
Exactly. This is the mental heavy lifting, the reflection to see not just the next step, but the consequences of the next 10 steps.
And the command not to swerve. It sets these clear guardrails. Wisdom needs consistency. It needs you to stick to a straight line.
So you have the core, the heart guarded with vigilance.
And then the four extremities, hearing, seeing, speaking, and walking, all working in a unified, coordinated way.
It's a complete integrated system, and you have to train it all simultaneously.
And the promised result is so compelling, then all your ways will be sure.
You gain stability, certainty. resilience in how you move through life, but only when you train these areas consistently and holistically.
So if this workout is so integrated, how do we make it a sustainable daily practice? I mean, you can't just do one session and expect lifelong results.
And that takes us right back to verse 21, to the daily commitment. It says to keep them, God's words, wisdom within your heart.
The source material really defines keeping as something much more active than just like storage or retention.
Right. So it's not just memorization.
Not at all. Keeping here means to heed, to guard, to treasure, and most importantly, to obey.
Ah, so it's active stewardship of the wisdom you've taken in.
Yes. Think of it like your daily sets and reps. You don't just know how to do a deadlift. You actually have to perform the movement.
So you don't just know what crooked speech is. You have to actively govern your tongue all day long.
That makes the workout analogy so much stronger. The commitment is the act of keeping.
And the reward for all this rigorous full-body training is laid out in the specific benefits promised right there in the text.
Verse 22. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh.
And this is where the analogy becomes one-to-one with systemic physical health. It's not just promising a mental or spiritual benefit. It's promising systemic life and healing for the whole person.
That phrase, healing to all their flesh, it just echoes those physical benefits we talked about at the beginning. Better hormone balance, better metabolic function.
It's not just poetry. It suggests a real, tangible impact on our well-being.
I mean, there's a strong modern connection there, isn't there? We know that a life without wisdom, a life of distraction, devious talk, constant emotional swerving, it creates chronic stress.
And chronic stress releases cortisol and adrenaline, which actively degrade your physical health, your hormone regulation, your metabolic function, all of it.
So wisdom, in a very real practical sense, acts as a systemic regulator.
By disciplining the heart and the extremities, you cut down on so much unnecessary self-inflicted stress. And that lets your body find balance and rest.
The wisdom workout benefits the whole person, right down to the hormonal level.
And there's one final reciprocal layer to this. The sources point out that by diligently keeping this wisdom, by doing the work, you, in turn, get to be kept.
Your active effort to guard your core results in you resting under a greater and more vigilant care.
Your training ensures your well-being.
Wow. That reciprocal relationship is really the ultimate payoff, and it brings us to the practical application for you, the learner.
The key takeaway from this deep dive is basically a prescription for holistic health.
If you want a healthy, truly full-body life, the source is suggesting you have to start each day off with a full-body workout of God's word, wisdom.
And that means resisting the lure of that spiritual split routine. Don't just work on hearing on Monday and walking on Friday.
Wisdom demands integrated, holistic training every single day.
Addressing your core intent, your inputs, and your outputs all at once.
This has been just a fascinating way to break this down. Seeing wisdom move from some abstract virtue into a practical, repeatable training regimen.
It's not a partial effort. It's not a segmented project.
No. It requires training the entire self, hearing, seeing, speaking, thinking, and conducting in one single holistic exercise.
And the reward is profound. Certainty in your path.
Yeah.
Life and healing for your entire being. The whole system benefits when the core is guarded and the limbs are disciplined.
So we'll leave you with this final thought to chew on, building on that idea of holistic health. If a single physical full-body workout can balance your hormones and metabolism by engaging the whole system at once, what is the compounding long-term impact on the springs of life when we apply this rigorous wisdom training daily across all five dimensions of our existence?
And maybe consider which of those five muscle groups, your hearing, your sight, your speech, or your path, is currently the weakest link, the one that needs the most dedicated attention in your workout today.
A great question to dive into.
We'll see you on the next deep dive.